Spotlight.
This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on BRICS declaration and Prime Minister's visit to Brazil. The participants are Anil Wadhwa, former ambassador, and Vaibhav J. Srivastav, anchor.
The whole world has its eyes upon the BRICS summit and its important declaration. What this declaration means for the world, politics, socially, economically, and globally in the coming years was something that everyone is keen on seeing. What is the meaning of the BRICS summit today? What were the important topics that were discussed? And what is the meaning of the declaration that was given out? What is the meaning of the Honorable Prime Minister's visit to the nations? To discuss all of these and much more, we have a former ambassador with us, Sri Anil Wadhwaji. Anilji, welcome to the studios of Akashvani.
Thank you.
Anilji, what is the BRICS declaration and what is its meaning economically, socially and politically?
So this is a very comprehensive BRICS declaration, and the focus of this declaration is of course on the Global South and a better world for the Global South in particular. So this being the emphasis, I think all the topics that have been touched upon have been done, keeping in mind what the world is passing through today, what the problems for Global South are and what are the solutions. I think the solution part of it is much more important, because although BRICS is not an implementing body, it can give some important recommendations. And many countries of the BRICS today are also members of the G20. And that makes it very important to note, because the G20, when it's considering the world issues, it definitely takes into account what has been recommended in the BRICS summit. Also, as far as G7 is concerned, the G7 is increasingly now inviting countries from the BRICS and from G20 regularly to be part of its meetings. India is a classic example of that. And if any country has been part of this declaration, obviously these views become important. If you look at the main topics in this declaration, then you find that it's the global governance system, which is the primary one, with special emphasis on the economic governance in the world today. Because the Global South has traditionally not been represented fully, their voices are not heard, and the problems of the world have grown only because of this negligence. Second is the issue of global health, which needs to be catered to in an inclusive manner, and also making sure that health facilities are available to the Global South at affordable prices. Number three is the issue of climate change and sustainability, and Brazil is paying special attention to this because it's also going to host the COP meeting later this year, and therefore climate finance in that context becomes much more important than before. So there is a special mechanism for climate finance also, which has been agreed upon at this summit. And fourth, of course, is the world peace and security. Now here, it's important to note that the conflicts in Ukraine and the conflict in Gaza, for instance, is taking a heavy toll on the Global South, because there are shortages, the supply chains have been restricted, and obviously food prices have gone up. And because of that, countries in Africa, for instance, and that is just one example, but all around the world, who cannot afford food or don't have those resources, they are paying a heavy price. So all these problems have been reflected in this declaration.
Secretary Economic Relations Damu Ravi, while briefing the media on Prime Minister's participation in the BRICS summit in Brazil, said that all the leaders have condemned the Pahalgam attack in the strongest terms.
On the session on peace and security, Honorable Prime Minister underlined that terrorism was a grave threat facing humanity. In this context, he noted that all the leaders have condemned Pahalgam terrorist attack in strongest terms. He underlined that the Pahalgam terror attack, is an onslaught on the entire humanity. He also noted that those funding, promoting and providing safe havens to terrorists must be dealt with in the harshest terms.
A very important thing that was talked about by Prime Minister Modi was about the difference between the ones who propel terrorism and the ones who fund terrorism. What are your views on the same?
So I think Prime Minister Modi has made it quite clear during his statement at this summit that the perpetrators of terrorism, the victims of terrorism should not be equated. And that's number one. Secondly, he made it quite clear that those who engage in cross-border terrorism, who are perpetrators, who actually shield terrorists and are safe havens for terrorists, they must face consequences, including sanctions. Third issue, which the world has been grappling with, is the Global Convention on Terrorism. Since 1996, India has been advocating this global convention. There's been no agreement on the definition of terrorism, unfortunately, for a very long time. And because of that, this is stuck. But of course, this declaration has unanimously agreed and endorsed that there is a need for this convention. So all in all, I think this has been a very successful attempt by India to include extensive references to terrorism in the joint statement. And Prime Minister Modi also reinforced that in his statement.
Anilji, although superpowers like India, Russia and China are there in the BRICS and a total of 11 countries are now a part of it, why do we see the West neglecting the interests of the Global South and the countries in the BRICS summit? Why is it that extensive explanations have to be given again and again that these nations have to be treated as equals and these nations have a lot more to contribute to the global economy than they already do?
You can already see that trend changing in the current circumstances because the world is becoming multipolar. The power is shifting from the traditional West to the rest of the world and most importantly to Asia. And many countries who are now economically empowered can feel themselves free to air their views. So that we see happening more and more. And certainly the views that have been expressed in the joint statement on global economic governance, like reform of the World Bank and the IMF and extended quotas for the developing countries, I think those are views which will have to be taken into account when the meetings of these institutions take place next. Already there is an agreement in principle that the quotas for certain countries who have graduated out of the previous state of affairs needs to be increased. But there's been no mechanism which has been agreed upon on what is the formula to be adopted for that purpose. And that finds a mention in this joint statement this time. Secondly, we have also been grappling with the whole issue of what the world institutions like WTO, the United Nations Security Council, or the specialized agencies, how they should be tackling the problems of the world. I think the communique is quite clear on that. Climate finance, sustainability is being given the priority place. But Prime Minister Modi in his statement was much more direct and much more open about it. So he in fact spoke about the fact that even after many, many decades now, since the United Nations system was set up, you have no reform of the system. Those countries who actually deserve to be on the high table, kept out of it. And obviously, the United Nations system is paralyzed. It's not working properly. So this sort of reinforces what is there in the joint statement.
The internal payments issue between the BRICS countries is something that hasn't been resolved as yet or hasn't discussed in too much detail. How important is this topic for the BRICS nations as well as the economic consequences of this system with the other nations?
There is an internal payments mechanism that the BRICS has been talking about for a very, very long time, something which they can use amongst themselves, but at the same time making sure that it does not, you know, tread upon some toes which are very sensitive. And the most important of this is a replacement of the US dollar as the primary currency. And the BRICS is quite careful in doing that. They've been talking about intra-BRICS trading, for example, in their local currencies. But at the same time, they are careful to say that the world monetary system, for instance, that needs not be replaced. And this has happened only because as a reaction to these unilateral sanctions which have been imposed on countries by powerful countries like the United States, on Russia, for instance, on Iran. And these are countries which trade a lot. I mean, they are oil-rich countries, for instance, so they're still trading in their oil and natural gas with other countries. So how do they make the payments? Because there's no other mechanism to do so. So that is why they have advocated this, and the BRICS has wholeheartedly supported it because it helps them to save precious foreign exchange and at the same time make sure that their own economies can do much better than they have been doing in the past.
The Secretary also informed that Prime Minister reaffirmed India's commitment to the Global South.
Honorable Prime Minister reaffirmed India's commitment to enhancing the voice of the Global South. He noted the developing countries required greater support for sustainable development in terms of access to climate finance and technology. He reiterated that the global organizations of the 20th century lacked the capacity to deal with the challenges of the 21st century. And therefore, he underscored the importance of reforming the multilateral organizations. He called for a multipolar and inclusive world order and stated that the global governance institutions, particularly the UN Security Council, the IMF, the World Bank, and the WTO, must undergo urgent reform to reflect the contemporary realities and times.
Mr. Vadha, PM Modi talked of a very important thing, and this included inclusivity and multilateralism both, when he said that AI for all, that is, irrespective of the stature of the person or the region, AI has to benefit each and every one. Mm-hmm. What does it mean and how important it is?
So, since the whole governance system for artificial intelligence has been evolving, when we had the high-level meeting in Paris last, and Prime Minister Modi was co-chairing this with President Macron of France, he again advocated that artificial intelligence should be there for everyone without any discrimination. There's a clash in thinking with between most of Europe and United States also on this issue, because Vice President J.D. Vance, when he was speaking at that meeting, clearly said that the companies which put in money into innovation in AI, they should be able to get some profits out of it. So that profitability motivation, and also, you know, the fact that companies should benefit from it, is not in keeping with the what the Global South wants, because they don't have the wherewithal and neither do they have the innovation practices. So what they would like, of course, is to have a share in whatever the thinking is, have a say in the policy decision about how AI should go in the future, and essentially they want it to be much more equitable as a system.
Ambassador Vadha, it was very important that connectivity and supply chain management and the related issues are addressed. PM Modi himself talked extensively about it. How important it is in the future that interconnectivity amongst not just the BRICS nations, but with other nations of the West or the developed nations increases, but without any reciprocal or retaliatory tariffs. How important is it for global economy? How important it is for employment generation or for the global peace?
Yes, so again, it has a lot to do with the global economic governance system. And India has always advocated that the costs of transportation, connectivity, they should all be brought down. And that means that everyone, rich and poor, should be equal partners in this endeavor. If you have a monopoly of a few shipping lines, for instance, just to give you an example, then obviously the countries from the global south will always be at their mercy. They will not have a chance to develop their own transportation systems, and they will not be able to also bring down the costs of transportation. We saw that there was a container crisis during the pandemic, for instance, which pushed up costs of transportation and exports from the global south to the other countries, which they were not able to bear the burden of. So obviously there was an effect of that on their economies. And that is why it's important that these costs are, an equitable system is worked out, technology is shared on an affordable basis with the global south.
Thank you so much for coming to the studios of Akashvani and talking about such valuable insights on BRICS and the declaration. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on BRICS declaration and Prime Minister's visit to Brazil. The participants were Anil Vadhva, former ambassador, and Vaibhav J. Srivastav, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92 8909 4044. Spotlight.